Let's go to John 3:16. And I'm going to share 16 and 17 out of the Voice translation. Reads, "For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life." Here's the point. Here's what we need to focus on. God didn't send his son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to do what? To rescue. Say, to rescue. He's here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. We shared about that Sunday. Rescue means free. You bring someone or something out of danger. You liberate, you release, you ransom, you extricate. It means you take time to painstakingly get that person out of whatever predicament they're in. And you recover or you deliver. That's what all that means. It's rescue. But that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk more about that on Sunday. But I had a conversation with someone on Friday, and the individual was telling me about the way they mishandled a family situation and the way people mishandle situations. It's like, we know what the word says, but I'm only human. And being only human, I am subject to human nature. And because of human nature, they mishandled something. I mean, they did not handle it the way the Bible says it should be handled. And so we started talking about that. What does it mean? What do you mean when you say, I'm only human? What does that mean? You make mistakes? Anyone else? You're not perfect? Yes, just call out. You're saying you don't have God inside. You're saying you don't have the greater one in you. Interesting thought. Very interesting thought. But see, when we make those statements, what we're saying, really saying, is I don't have the capability to do this God's way at this time or in this situation, for whatever it is. God knows I'm only human. I'm subject to all these human frailties. So I can't always live my life the way God designed it because I'm human. It's that simple. I'm human. So just deal with it. And we really believe that. But see, the truth is, we're not just human. We are not. And we don't have to be subject to human nature. And I'm going to take a few minutes and tell you why I so confidently say that. See, that used to be true. At one point in time, I was only human. At one point in time, I was subject to human nature. Okay. I think I created some new human nature in that time. But that used to be true, but that's not true about me anymore. See, what happens in these things is, turning to Romans 12, we have to adjust because of what happened to us, and I'm going to tell you what happened to us in a little bit, but because of what happened to us, we need to change the way we think. We need to develop a different viewpoint, a different attitude, a different mindset that's contrary to human nature. It's contrary to that. In God's Words translation, me, Pastor Ed, he does the same thing. We don't just look at one scripture. We look at as many as we can find and find out which ones God wants to use. And I was using a lot of different sources last night. But Romans 12, 1 and 2 in God's Words translation says, "Brothers and sisters, in view of all we have just shared about God's compassion, I encourage you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices dedicated to God and pleasing to Him. This kind of worship is appropriate for you. Don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants." See, if we change, when we change the way we think, in any circumstance, I don't care what it is, we will know how God really wants us to handle it. But if we don't change the way we think, we'll be subject to human nature. I mean, that's just the way it is. You'll know what is good and pleasing and perfect. And if you believe you're only human and subject to human nature, the way you respond to people and circumstances will be worldly. Because if you don't have the godly, what's left? The worldly. You only have two choices. But when we allow our minds, if we allow our minds to be renewed, then we'll understand. We'll understand that God has a plan for us, and His plan has nothing to do with human nature. Just, you know, so that we'll get a good understanding, let's turn to Genesis 1, because we have to look and see what God's original plan for us was. I'm going to read it in this one in the King James. Very, very familiar. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And I kept thinking about that word, image and likeness. And I looked up likeness, and it just means the condition of being alike. So everything about God was supposed to be seen in these humans that he created, because he made them like him. And then he said, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and, you know, the cattle and everything that creepeth. Upon the creeping thing up that creepeth upon the earth." So I was thinking about that and I said, wow, so man's dominion was based on him being a reflection of God. Creation was designed to obey God. So whoever God was going to put over creation had to have his characteristics, they had to be seen as God here on the earth. It's just, anytime you have, when you have delegated authority, you're seen as the person who gave you the authority. When you as a delegate, you say something that you've been commissioned to say, it's like the one who commissioned you standing there and saying it. And you expect people to act accordingly. You don't expect them to say, "Oh, well, it's just you. You know, if that's what they want, let them come and tell me." No, I'm their representative. And I'm saying it. And because I'm saying it, and they told me to say it, it's so. So let me read Genesis, the same scriptures in the Message Bible. God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature." That's what the Bible says. Human beings are made in God's image, and they were made to reflect God's nature, not human nature. Let them make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible. And I had to stop. I stopped right there when I read it. I said, wait a minute now. For me to walk around as a responsible individual, I need to be reflective of God's nature. And if I'm not reflecting his nature, I'm not being responsible. Because the Message Bible says, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible. Responsible for what? For the fish, the sea, the birds, the air, the cattle, yes, the earth itself. So in order for me to be responsible for the earth, I need to be reflecting God's image, God's nature, and not human nature. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting his nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge, be responsible. See, without God's nature, we couldn't do those things. Because creation would probably rebel because we would mishandle them. But then something happened. God's humans, then it was Adam and Eve, they sinned. And when they sinned, they no longer reflected God's nature. And creation no longer listened to them. They turned the earth over to the devil, and creation started taking on the nature of its new king. The problem came because humans are still in the earth. But the earth now has a new king. And kingdoms usually reflect the nature of the king. And so now we start, instead of having the glory of God on us, instead of reflecting God's nature, now we're reflecting the nature of the new king, the devil. The devil. And we wind up doing things crosswise from what God has said. And not because we wanted to, but it became our nature. And God wasn't willing to stand there and let that happen and let it stay in that state. So at the right time, he sent Jesus. He had a plan to restore humans to their original status. So he sent Jesus to pay the ransom so he can get us back. And then anyone who allowed themselves to be reconciled to God could again be a reflection of God's nature and could regain control of the earth. See, so if you've received Jesus, you're not just human. And you're not subject to human nature unless you want to be. But you don't have to be. And when I was sharing with the individual, I said, no, we have a choice in this. It's not that the devil says jump and you say how high. You have a choice. You tell, I'm not jumping. No, because my father didn't tell me to jump. But you're a human. Oh, that's what you think. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read this in several translations. Several. King James said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That means how you used to be is finished. It's done away with. So if you used to operate according to human nature, and now you've received Jesus Christ and you're a new creation, and the old you has passed away. The author Stanley translation says, if anyone has entered into fellowship with Christ, a new world has at once opened upon him. an old world has passed away. So the minute you receive Christ, it's like you step into a new world. And the world you just stepped out of is gone. It's history. The Anthony Dean translation. I like this one. Well, I like all of them. This one says, and the true Christian is not merely a man altered, but a man remade. How many true Christians in the house? You've all been remade. Remade. And I believe that if God remade me, he didn't put any bad stuff in me. Because every good gift, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, wherein there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so if he remade me, then there's no darkness in me. Because there's no darkness in him. The Lebach translation says, if a man is in Christ, he is created new. The man he was is passed away. And the new man has been created. The new man. The Williams translation says, so if anybody is in union with Christ, he is the work of a new creation. The old condition has passed away. A new condition has come. A new condition. So the state I was in before Christ, I ain't there anymore. That condition is gone. Finished. Kaput. What other words you say that? All right. A new condition has come. The Phillips says, for if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. That means every part of me is new. The past is finished and gone. Everything, say everything. Everything has become fresh and new. Everything. So how can everything become fresh and new and my nature stay the same? Can that happen if everything has become fresh and new? Okay. Easy to read version. When anyone is in Christ, it's a whole new world. The old things are gone. Suddenly, everything is new. Suddenly, everything is new. It's like, bing, here it is. Now listen to the Living Bible. In the Living Bible, I'm going to read verses 16 to 18. So stop evaluating Christians by what the world thinks about them or by what they seem to be like on the outside. So listen to what Paul is saying. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, merely as a human being like myself. Paul is saying, I once thought there was no difference between me and Jesus. We both just humans. How differently I feel now, he says, verse 17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. When you received Christ, you're no longer only human, subject to human nature. You don't have to behave according to human nature. You can live and move and have your being in Christ, reflecting the very nature of God. The very nature of God. And the thing, 1 John says, because they say, well, what is his nature? 1 John says that God is love. So that has to mean everything about God is love or stems from love. It also means the very nature of God is love. And according to what we read in the scriptures, God made us to reflect his nature. So it would be accurate to say God made humans to reflect his love. Well, think about it. What did Jesus say to his disciples in John? John 13. He said, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. The same way I love you, you love one another. That's how everyone will know you're my disciples. When they see the love you have one for another. I started thinking about that. Because he didn't say, let me give you a new suggestion. He said, let me give you a new commandment, a new command. You reflect me. That's what he was saying. Because he's love. He said, here's a new commandment. Reflect my love. Period. Because when people see you reflecting my love, they will know that you're associated with me. That's what he said. That's what he said. He didn't say if you give to the poor. He said, if you love, you show your love, you put your love on display, everybody will know you're my disciple. Everybody. Now, how can we do that if we're subject to human nature? Because human nature puts conditions on love. You think about that. If I'm merely human and you do something I don't like, you're in trouble. Period. I may feel guilty and say, well, I'll love you from a distance. But Jesus didn't say it. He said, a new command I give you. Love one another. Reflect God's nature. Period. I want all the world to know about you, Lord. Love one another. Reflect my nature. Let people see who I really am. They'll respond to that. And you can do it because, I'll tell you that in a minute. I'm not getting ahead of myself. Because I get ahead of myself, I'll be finished. See, he didn't ask us to love one another as he loves us. He commanded it. He said, the same way I show my love to you, you show your love to one another. So he was telling us, the same way I show my love, I want you to be a reflection of that. Okay? And once you receive Christ, we need to understand we operate under a different set of rules, different set of standards. There are things that we can do in Christ that we couldn't do before Christ. Once you receive Christ, remember, you can do all things through him. Without him, you can do no things. Well, you can get in trouble. That you can do. All right? But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and that puts us into a different category of beings. Once we receive Christ, we can do everything the Bible commands us to do. Everything. We couldn't do that before. If we were just human, we wouldn't be able to do everything that the Bible says. But everything the Bible says, we can do. Everything. A mere human can't lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. A mere human was not given power over all the power of the devil. He wasn't. It was given to believers. So believers have to be more than just human, and we can't use that any longer as an excuse for not acting the way we should in any situation. We don't have to be subject to human nature. The problem is things happen and we want to be subject. the human nature, myself included. Look at Galatians 2, verse 20. I was trying hard to find a full version of this particular translation called a distilled Bible. I finally tracked one down online. It's $299. Listen to how the distilled Bible puts this verse, Galatians 2:20. I consider myself as having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. That excites me. How can I be only human when Jesus is using my body to do what God told him to do? He's using my body. He's using your body to do the things God told him to do. He's using my body to reflect God's nature. He's using your bodies to reflect God's nature. And if Jesus is using my body, he's not subject to being only human. And he's using my body because I died. And the only reason I'm walking around is because he's using my body. That means my nature isn't dependent on what's going on outside of me. My nature is dependent on what's happening inside me. What's taking place within me is will be the determining factor into the nature that I'm going to display. And if I always allow Christ to be in me using my body, the only thing I could display is his nature. But if I evict him, then I'll start displaying human nature. I don't want to display human nature anymore. But it gets a little better. I know you're wondering, how could it get any better, right? Same verse, Galatians 2:20. This is the 20th century New Testament. Gives us another dimension. I have been crucified with Christ. So it is no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And as for my present earthly life, I'm living it by faith. Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that means the life that I'm living right now, I'm living by faith in the Son of God. And the Son of God said, if I had faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing would be impossible for me. I don't know any humans that nothing is impossible for them. But because I have Christ using my body and I'm living my life based on faith in him, nothing's impossible. That means I can love the way God wants me to love. I can forgive the way God wants me to forgive. I can give what he tells me to give, when he tells me to give it. Why? I'm not subject to human nature. I'm subject to the one who's living inside me, to the one who's using my body. And it's because of him I move and have my being. He told his disciples, nothing would be impossible for them if they had faith. Nothing. See, when we're only human, we quickly realize there's some impossibilities. Okay. But nothing is impossible to a believer living by faith. The person living by faith can accomplish anything. Anything. Can't do that if you're just human. See, that one of the things that I thought about. I said, okay, when man missed it, God could have said, forget them. He could have just given up. But he made us human. He made us reflecting his nature. But he still gave us choice. He wanted us to look and examine everything that he's done for us and make choices based on that. That's what he wanted. And so when we were recreated, he left us with the same choice. Because he still wants us to acknowledge that he is love and he loves us. And because we love him, we keep his commandments. I meant there's a reason why he said the way you show your love is to do what he says. Because if we do what he says, we're saying we believe every single word that he said as being true. And everything that he's done is being for our benefit. Everything. So it really doesn't matter to us what we go through because he's already promised to take us through. And he told us, look, you're going to go through stuff in this world. He already told us that. The only question is, do we believe it? If we believe it and we operate it in that, we're living above being just human. We're living above being subjected to human nature. Even when human nature comes against us, we are above it. We choose to be. We do have a choice in this. And the way I think it's, why do I have to be bothered with any nonsense if I don't have to be? I'm not going to wake up, and I know nobody here wakes up in the morning and says, I just got to find some stuff to get into. I just got to go where something's going to annoy me. No. We don't think like that. But what I got excited about, and I'm almost finished tonight, but what I really got excited about was when I realized that God knew that his being was going to get themselves caught up in denominations and all of that stuff. And that doesn't really matter to him. I never saw Galatians 6, 15 and 16 like this before. Probably because most of the time I've read it in the King James. But in the Voice translation, it says, let me be clear. Circumcision won't save you. Uncircumcision won't either, for that matter. For both amount to nothing. God's new creation is what counts, and it counts for everything. The CEV, Temporary English Version, says, it doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. All that matters is that you are a new person. You need to understand that. You are a new person. Then we have the Barclay New Testament, which really reflects what God did for us. The Barclay says, what matters is the creating of the man all over again. That's what, I don't care what the circumstance is, folks. All that matters is that God created us all over again. So we can handle this circumstance the right way because we've been created all over again. We're no longer subject to human nature if we've renewed our minds to the point where we understand we've been created all over again. We're not merely human or just human. And being human doesn't dictate how, shouldn't dictate how we respond to anything. What we should be thinking about is, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I've been recreated to reflect the very nature of God. And then you put a period there. Because if you don't, you'll say, yeah, but. Or what happens if? I can answer that right now. Who cares? Think about it. Let me go back to Genesis. Since when we received Jesus, we were put back into our original state according to God's original plan. Is that not so? He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. When he blessed us, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. When we are reflecting God's nature, the earth has to listen to us. Because it does not see us, it sees God. And we need to understand that. It's not me speaking to you. See, well, it looks like you. Well, it's not. It's Christ living in me. Because I died. November 18th, 1984, I died, and I was recreated. And the only reason I exist is because Christ is living in me. That means I should be able to do everything this book says I can do, because I'm no longer limited by the boundaries of being human. All that matters was the creating of me all over again. All that matters is the creating of you all over again. We've all been created all over again. We are not just human. We're not only human. We're not merely human. We're believers. We're children of the Most High God. We're a peculiar people. We're new creations. We're something this planet had never seen before. Humans who are not really human. Humans who reflect the very nature of God. Humans who put life and action to the words of this book in plain view. So people will see us and say, there is a God. And once they believe there is a God, then they will have hope. Folks, that's why we're here. So let's not use humanity as a reason to forget that we're rescue workers. Because we are who we are in Christ should make our rescue efforts easier, not harder. Jesus said he came to search out and set to search and save. So that means we should be looking for opportunities to rescue. Looking for them. Not hoping we don't run into something. But I used to drive around, I don't know if you guys did that with football, Robert, but we used to drive around to different parks throughout the city and watch the full court games. When we saw some guys that looked like they could play, we would park the cars, get out, and walk into the middle of the court during their game and say, get your best five out here. Just like that. We felt we were that good, so that's what we did. And then we would deliberately lose the game by a close point and let them say they wanted to play for money. And we would say, okay, we'll play for a dollar, man. A dollar, man? We thought you guys were players. You came here and just disrupted our game. Like, what, $2 a guy? Like, No, $20 a man. Oh, like $20. Oh, I thought you guys were ball players. Well, what do you think? Okay. We win the game 32-4. We went around looking for that because we thought we were ready. We knew we were ready. Well, as a believer, I know I'm ready. So I go around and I look for opportunities to display God's nature. Period. And I don't care how it shows up. So once going to a gas station, I was praying that God did not send me to this particular gas station attendance line because I just didn't like the way he was just interacting with the other folks. I mean, I'm sorry. When I pull up to the pump, I expect you to look at me and ask me a question. You know, stand the window, the car's like this, like. I'm looking at him. I'm like, Lord, don't send me to that line. But I'm in a hurry. That's the longest line. And guess where God sent me? Right there. And I'm like, okay, you sent me here, and you didn't send me here to teach me a lesson. You sent me here because there's something you want me to do. He said, I want you to give the guy a tip. I'm like, no problem. I reached over, pulled $2. No, I want you to give him $10. Okay, that's fine. I'm thinking, can I give it to him and get out of line? He said, no, but I'll tell you what to say when he comes for payment. And he came, and sure enough, he just stand like this with my card and the receipt in the hand in my hand. I had to grab his hand, and then he looked at me, and I put $10 in. And I said, God said, just like he's taking care of this, he's going to take care of that other problem that you're going through. I didn't know what I was talking about. He started jumping up and down. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God bless you, sir. God bless you. He's waving to everybody. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm driving off. He's behind the car. God bless you. God bless you. See, we don't know what people are going through. That's what Paul said, told us earlier we read. He said, stop judging people by what you see on the outside. What we should do is not judge them at all, but respond to them based on what we're getting on the inside. Because what we're getting on the inside is going to be reflect the love of God. Period. So whenever, really, you know, when my wife and I go to a restaurant, we may get a table for two, but we don't always wind up paying for two. And we wind up just waiting. Okay, God, who is it in here you want us to bless? Sometimes he doesn't tell us anyone. Sometimes he'll just want you to pay for their check. We don't look and see how many are at the table. It doesn't matter. He said, pay their check. We call the server over and say, we're going to pay their check. Don't tell them. Say, oh, that's nice. You know them? No. Never saw them before in our life. They're like, I don't understand. I said, we're Christians. God said to bless them by paying for their check. And because God said it, that's what we're doing. So you want me to tell them? No. Well, I have to tell them something. Tell them God took care of it for them. Sometimes they do. Sometimes we're on the way to the car and someone's running, banging on the window. Thank you. So we met a couple and we correspond every now and then because the server told them, and the guy just started crying. Saying that he just started crying. He said, we had just got finished saying, God, we need an answer. Because they were in a really rough situation. And then the next thing you know, a complete stranger is paying their check at the restaurant. He said, if God can do this, he's got the other thing covered. We were like, that's what he wanted you to know. Human nature says, you don't know these people. And what are they going to do for you? No, it's not what anyone can do for me. It's what God wants me to do on his behalf for them. And I respond in kind because I'm not just human. But I am done. Amen.